Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Here we are, Tuesday night, round 20 wrap up. A night later than I'd say normal, but we've done this a fair few times this year. It's just because we're getting old. Well, I'm getting old.
Oh, I'm feeling old.
Now we have to back it up tomorrow night as well. But this is the round 20 wrap.
It's going to be very old lately.
It's going to be a big focus on the judiciary, probably the biggest week of referrals and suspensions we've had in quite a while. And we're also going to spend some time on the player loan system. And due to the fact it's getting mostly negative feedback, and we'll give you our opinions on that. I'm more in favour of this sort of stuff than most people, but I do agree how it's been handled by the NRL because they're newbies to it. Wasn't done very well. One of them makes sense. The other one, I don't think anyone understands, and we'll get to that, as well as the results from the weekend, all pretty much as expected, minus the probably Broncos-Tigers game. A couple of signing news in the NRLW. And a youngster about to create history as the third generational player in the same club. So we'll talk about all that sort of stuff and anything else that kind of pops up as we go along. So welcome in.
My name is Adam. I'm Jared. I'm teeing up for this one. This is going to be so much fun.
Yes. Jared's a Knight supporter, just so people know. I'm waiting to hear what the fun bit's going to be, but we'll get to that. So we will start with our footy tipping comp. Our footy tipping comp over at footytips.com.au, sponsored by Hop Nation Brewing. And it was a bonus round, a joke around. And going into it, it was like, oh, yeah, Roosters, yeah, it's pretty much self-explanatory. Right? Melbourne beat Warriors, cool. Penrith versus Parramatta. And I jumped on and had a look at how many people where everyone was going with this game. And it was like 90 to 10 Penrith over Parramatta support. And I'm not surprised more people went with Penrith. I was surprised by the jump of that. And after Parramatta got up, I was like, oh, I'm looking good here to pick up a couple of spots. And the only game I was worried about all bloody weekend was the Sharks and Rabbitohs. So I was like, this one's hard to split. And it went to Golden Point and I was on the wrong side this time. Jared, I think you ended up on the right side of it. You had the Sharks at home, I think.
Let's have a look.
Did you or did you not?
I picked Rabbits.
Okay, Rabbits. So there we go. So that wrecked my full round. And then obviously Broncos went down to the Tigers. So compounded it. So looking at the footage of the comp, most people, 6 out of 8.
I picked Penrith.
Oh, God, you went against yourself. Love it. You got 5 out of 8, but _R3_ got 7 out of 8. So we double points scored 14 points for the round. Did help move them up the leaderboard. As it stands currently, Rocking Horse Road, 134. The _Irk, 132. Myself, 131. Reggie Sidestep, 130. And then Sharkopolis and Broncos 41, both tied for fifth place on 127. So everyone in that top five got 6 out of 8, except for Reggie Sidestep, who got 5. Still loads of people in with a chance, so do not drop off. And looking at the streak comp, yeah, I thought a fair few people would bomb out this round, and they did. A fair few had Broncos beating the West Tigers, including Timbo 21, who was on the current longest streak, and we're running out of time to beat _R3 streak of 15 with only, 5 rounds to go? But there we go. Sponsored by Hop Nation Brewing, and remember, prize packs will be coming the way of the top 3 in the footy tipping comp. We will kick off with some signing news out of the NRLW. So the Broncos have locked in their last 2 spots in their 24-woman squad with Hayley Maddock. Coming up for another campaign and signing Queensland under-19s captain Hannah Larson. They'll be playing the Knights in round one, and the Dragons have finalised their squad with Australian Rugby 7 silver medalist Cassie Staples and forward Tara McGrath-West completing their team. And for a really cool move, Jamie Sauer, the NRLW coach, has invited 12 women's academy players to train with the squad for pre-season with the hopes of securing an NRLW development contract. Really looking forward to the kickoff of that season. What is it? The August 21. There we go.
2 weeks gone. Bloody hell.
I know, it's going around. So there hasn't been many of these, but a good news story out of the Dolphins with this already in the Redcliffe Dolphins system. So Redcliffe Host Plus Cup winger Setu has been awarded a train and trial contract with the Dolphins NRL squad. So he'll suit up when they assemble for preseason training in November. So this guy's spent time in the Warriors NRL system before joining Redcliffe at the start of the 2021 season, and has averaged 150 running meters and 8 line breaks, and has had 8 line breaks this season.
Eight line breaks this season,
and has scored 10 tries in 12 appearances, including 2 hat tricks, including 2 try hat tricks in his last 4 matches. So really awesome reward for him making the jump from the Warriors to the Redcliffe system and then being picked up by the Dolphins club from there. All right, how about we have a look at some signings news, I guess, because it's kind of been, it'll lead us into the player trades and that sort of stuff. So I guess a good news story, Tamari Martin has gone from a developmental contract at the start of this season to a 3-year deal with the Warriors from the start of next year. So if that's not like the comeback feel-good story of the season, I don't know what is, what's going to beat that. So remember, he was part of the switcheroo with Reece Walsh going to the Broncos. So good on you, Tamari. In New Zealand, he's a New Zealand boy, and
I'm
don't know where this would have been on his list of priorities even a year or two ago.
I'm trying to figure out why they got Wade Egan, they got Freddie Lussick, Dejan Arfi, Sean Johnson, Harris DeVita retired, but they just signed Chance Nickel-Klokstad as well. So they've got a lot.
Yes.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, they've got a plan, obviously, but they've got a lot of attack. But
yeah, and they've got Luke Metcalf as well.
Yeah. I'm very curious how they're going to fit all these people in. And right now, you're not even sure who their halves are. You've got Sean Johnson and Wade Egan playing in the 6, but Dejan Arce sitting in the reserve. I just don't get it. But, you know, they've got a plan in place. You can't knock it until you see it.
Talking about toothless defense in the halves. What? Oh, come on. That was great. Wade Egan.
No,
lost his teeth. No. We'll go with that. That was brilliant. All righty.
Really
good on you, Tamari. Supposedly I have poor taste. Anyway, let's go on to...
Have you seen your cat?
No, I haven't. All right. Signings tracker. So let's start off with this loanee stuff. Now, June 30 is usually the date that deals and stuff have to be done for the rest of the season. It was extended to the 1st of August due to the impact of COVID and that sort of stuff. Anyway, what it's basically seen has been teams near the top of the ladder solidifying their top 30 by picking up players from clubs lower on the ladder who aren't really going to be making a noise in the finals. And a lot of people are having a stink about this because part of the winning the premiership is the attrition of your 30-person squad throughout the season, and whatever you start with is what you should finish with, and whatever team does it the best, good on them. I don't get that at all in today's sporting world, but good on you. I have been a big proponent for a transfer window. And I will preface this by saying not this late in the season. Not that much, but maybe a couple of weeks earlier. But a key part of it working is it has to favour both sides of the deal. I'm with the majority here in saying that I don't know what the hell the West Tigers are doing. I don't see what upside there is for them in loaning out Nofaluma and Oliver Gildart for the rest of the season, considering they're not getting anything in return. They're literally just helping out another club. What, so Nofaluma can get finals experience for the first time in his career? That's nice and everything, but...
And Gildart.
If he gets to play, that we'll get to why the Roosters would sign him in the first place, but I think there's proof in the pudding as to why I would like a transfer window, because the coverage that even just these two have got has been massive. And I've even found myself, for the first time in my life, looking at NRL news to see if there's been any trades. And that's usually something I do on the daily for 3 months in the off-season in the Premier League, or daily through the transfer windows of the other sports. It's the first time I've ever got excited about in the NRL. And then even Martin Taupau was popped up as a possible trade partner to Parramatta. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
And David Clemmer.
But the first thing I said from a Manly point of view was, all right, we're not re-signing him. We do have some young forwards coming through, but my first thought was, all right, what are we getting back? And then after seeing that West Tigers got nothing for Nofaluma, nothing for Gildart, I was like, well, maybe these clubs haven't got the hang of this system. So I guess we'll look at it a couple of ways. How do the loaned players fit into the clubs that they're going to? So Nofaluma going from West Tigers to Melbourne Storm, obviously covering their outside back injuries woes. Because if you haven't looked at Melbourne's team for next week's game, it's probably the worst back five I've ever seen for Melbourne. What is Melbourne getting with Nofaluma being there for the rest of the season?
One of the best finishers, most experienced players in the comp on a dime for the rest of the year.
Cool. And I think that's just a recap. So we have talked about that one previously. My concern is who's going to get the ball to him there. Like, can't be worse than Tigers, obviously. But I thought they'd be better suited trying to get a fullback. And I think we've already talked about that they did try. So I guess Nofaluma is a good fullback option. And Xavier Coates is expected back, what, next week, or if not the week after. So Melbourne will be going into the finals with a winging pair of Coates and Nofaluma, which is pretty decent.
That's impressive.
We've seen that Justin Olam's out this week with COVID. So, but he'd be one of the centres, and insert other centre here on the other side, probably Marion Sevi. You'd assume with Nick Meaney at fullback, and that'll be their back five going in. Like, obviously not the strongest that Melbourne's had, but Nofaluma is a big upgrade on Brian Anderson. Or who else would they be throwing out there? Dean Irema. What the hell are the West Tigers doing?
It's more funny that the West Tigers CEO came and bashed the trades, and it was like, well, why are these teams poaching from the teams you can't make a final? I was like, mate, you just released two of your outside backs to go.
Yeah, like,
shut the fuck up.
If I'm going, yeah, the differences here to a typical loan is a loan is generally for an entire season, and the types of players that get loaned out are young up and coming players who can't quite crack the system yet. Harry Grant, when he was behind Cam Smith and Brandon Smith at Melbourne, made sense, got an entire season of NRL experience, came back a better player. That's one. The second one is a player who the club decides has no future for them. They don't have a high sale value or a high trade value at the time, so they loan them out to another club. so they can get first team minutes, try and look better than what the club thinks they are, and try to sell them at a higher price. They're generally your options with a loan. Now, what the West Tigers have done here is more of a trade move, whereas they're giving a player to a club in the finals who needs one. The difference is they're getting them back at the end of the season. You don't see that style of thing overseas. In a hypothetical, say this was a trade as opposed to a loan, what would be a fair return, do you think, for Norfoluma coming back from the Storm to the Tigers?
Well,
all right, so just keeping in mind, Norfoluma is on $525,000 through to the end of 2025. So you'd get him for another three seasons after this one. They'd be asking for quite a bit back for a player of that caliber locked in at that price for that long, and one that's definitely going to make the Melbourne squad better, even if everyone is healthy. He'd still be the starting winger. So what would be a fair pack? Because West Tigers pretty much need...
forwards.
Yeah. I think any chance that you've got to make your team better, it doesn't matter if it's in a position of strength or weakness, you take it. So you're saying forwards. So what if they put a package together of, say...
Chris Lewis and Eisenhoof.
The hard thing for Melbourne as well is they're going to be losing both Bromwiches and Kaufusi already in the offseason.
Chris Lewis and Eisenhoof.
Well, Chris Lewis is off contract at the end of this season anyway, so he's a free agent, so they won't be able to include
Brandt.
Him. Oh, they could include him for the rest of the season, but then you'd be hoping to re-sign him.
Jordan Grant?
Who else?
Yeah. They just need forwards that Melbourne bring, that unassuming forwards. They just lost three... like Luke Garner, Tulagi, and they look like they're going to lose someone else. I can't remember the third one. They're picking up Papali'i for next year. They need back rowers.
They got Offen Gowie. They got Alex Twile will be back. Musgrove. Who else? There's another one there. Udamecano.
That's 100% that's what they need.
I'd be looking at, so if you're going forwards, if you've got Norfoluma going back one way, to me, if I'm West Tigers, I'm asking for someone who's locked up for a little bit of time. Let's have a look here. There's really Josh King.
No, they won't get rid of Josh King.
Well, you're giving up Norfoluma. He's in a higher level of player than Josh King. They will not get rid of
Josh King. Guarantee you.
Okay, well then I wouldn't have. Well, I was saying if it's a trade and you're wanting them for the rest, you'd be giving up more than Josh King.
I know who they're asking. They're asking for Jordan Grant, and who's that? I won Trent Lotero,
Jack Howarth. Okay, then you've got a deal. Because if you're saying the first two, I'd say I'm hanging up if I'm the West Tigers.
Jack Howarth is their next young gun, playing the centres, playing the back row. He's going to be an absolute weapon for Melbourne moving forward. He is, yeah.
So for me, then Melbourne says no.
Well, I'd go one of them, Trent Lehrer or Jordan Grant, one or the other, and Jack Howarth.
Melbourne says no. They're not going to give up Howarth, but they'll give up the other three.
Yeah, well, either way.
I'd say Josh King, Grant, and Lalero.
They're not getting rid of King. King's the same level as Cam Smith as far as they're concerned. Not getting rid of him anytime soon.
No, he's not. Don't even say that.
They brought him in to bring B. Dale Finucane. Not happening. Yeah. But yeah. They'd rather go Cam Smith than him.
It's all hypothetical anyway, but that's the sort of fun we could have. Sydney Roosters signed Oliver Gildart for what reason?
Because they've been decimated in their outside backs, and the players they brought in were shithouse.
So they brought in another one?
Mainly Kevin McGuama. They're getting the international centre for pennies. That's the reasoning. It's the same as Newcastle signing Anthony Milford. They're getting the international centre for no money.
Will he play a game for the Roosters, you reckon?
Well, it just depends on the halves play for Roosters. Because if Joey Manu, if the halves for away, Joey Manu goes to six, he rocks in the centres.
Next, we've got Billy Smith out, I guess.
Billy Smith's out. So this weekend, in their centres.
We got Momorowski and...
Yeah, which Manu. Is Momorowski's not a bad... They brought him back. But, like, I think it's an amazing signing. And if there's any other injuries to their back thing, it's going to walk this bloke in. Like, it's, like I said, international centre for no money at all.
Yeah, I know. You can say that as much as you want. He hasn't been cracking the West Tigers back line.
But he'll do better in a better system. He's better at Ryan Hall. And you know who loves this? You
really
most?
Can't say that, but yeah.
100% better the player than Ryan Hall sat on the edge of the St. Helens back line in the shittest comp in the world and has put the ball over the line. He was not a good player. Do you know who's loving his Oliver Gildart situation? Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett's loving it. Oliver Gilbert is going to one of the best rugby league systems in the world for like 3 months, and he's going to walk over to Wayne Bennett. He came over from St. Helens, I think he came from Wigan, or one of the two. He came over to West Tigers, probably one of the shittest systems in the world, yeah. In NRL at least. And then he walked, and to be fair, I think I'm not 100% set on Gildart, but I'm not 100% riding him off just because he's at the Tigers.
Yeah, no,
he's going to go play on the trip. He's going to play on Trent Robinson, and he's going to walk in under Bennett's tutelage. I reckon he could be a world beater next year. He has the potential. I've seen his highlights. He's just in a crap system right now.
Yeah, could so, say. What is it? Yeah, what was his name? See, I've already said Seki, who debuted for Manly, international winger, right there.
Yeah, but it's a bit different. He's a tier one international centre.
No, he's a Relax. Fiji. Thank you very much.
No, Gildart's an international tier one centre.
Oh, tier one.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll see. To me, it's an outside. There like, could have been better players.
You know what you just did? You know what you just did? Back in a couple of years ago when I was playing A-grade Maroochydore, my little brother at the time was playing 18s for Maroochydore. And he teased me up. He walks up to me and he goes, what level are you playing this weekend? Because I was jumping between reserve grade and A-grade. I'm like, I'm playing A-grade this weekend. He walks up to me and goes, you know what? I'm playing A-grade too. I'm like, oh, awesome. We're playing in the same team. That's really good. And he goes, no. There's two divisions in under 18s, there's A grade and B grade, and I'm playing 18s. That is exactly what you just fucking said.
Either way, we're both correct. All right. any other signings? So what was this thing? So Parramatta put in a late bid to try and get Clemmer for the rest of the season as well. Was that going to be a loan or is it going to be a...
It depends who you ask. So I'll just give you a quick rundown of what happened here. Last week, Marty Tapau asked for the release at Manly. Manly blocked it. Parramatta put a last-ditch effort to sign him on July 31st, August 1st, deadline, Monday morning. When that wasn't happening, they were searching around. And they went, you know what? David Clemmer's got 1 year left at Newcastle. Maybe we can offer him a bit of money. We can pick up his salary for the rest of the year, or minimal salary for the rest of the year.
That's what I'm talking about.
Come over to Para, move this forward. Is, would have been
this isn't a loan. This is a trade.
Him, Regan Gillard, Junior Paulo, Nathan Brown rotation, fucking formidable. And he's that leader. No matter what, mate, he would have been a fantastic signing.
Yeah.
3:30 in the afternoon, Harry Tui is the official Newcastle Herald, Newcastle Knights media reporter, messaged David Clemmer and said, mate, what's the go? You're going to Para. And Clemmer, all he did was, no, I'm 100% committed to Newcastle. That's a text message. For me, that's done and dusted. That's roll. That's gone. Like he's publicly saying that to
him. Yeah, it's too late now, but I'm just saying that it's interesting that.
Hold up. We're not done. August 1st, 6:30 at night, yeah. NRL 360 rolls around. Supposedly, Clemmer reached out to Parramatta. Okay. Reach out to Parramatta and ask for a 3-year deal. just remember, Clemmer's only 28, so he's got a few years left in him. And, you know, big blow up. He doesn't like it. He wanted a three-year deal. Newcastle blocked it. But, you know, Adam O'Brien had a meeting at 4:30 in the afternoon with Newcastle power brokers potentially doing all this stuff. And I was just sitting there. I'm like, okay, for one, you're essentially bullshitting what Barry Toohey said. He's an official Newcastle reporter.
Mm-hmm.
For two, you're making up lies because David Clem already said he's committed to Newcastle. So why would he make contact with Para? And three, you're just making a story here, dude. Like, it's just ridiculous. And then, you know, I don't know if we want to get into what happened today with the Newcastle side with David Clemmer, but that's a whole other conversation. But it's just...
I'm just having a look here then. So say, what do you reckon he had a year left?
Yeah, he's a bit available to contact people November 1st. So, yeah, he ends in 2023, yeah.
2023. All right. So, say he left now. So, he'd be there to the end of 2023, even though other teams are... All right, let's have a look. What does Newcastle need?
No, because there's no... We would love Mitchell Moses or Dylan Brown, but there's no way they'd get rid of him. What I would gun for would be... I want Will Pennacini.
Yeah, I was looking at that because his contract runs out at the same time as Clemmer.
Yeah, Will Pennacini would be the ideal, and you'd probably have to throw a bit of cash in.
So the downside with that is Parramatta's not stopping outside backs.
No way Pennacini's on 800. No way is Pennacini's
on 800. No, he's on less than three.
But yeah, and then I would probably either cash or probably looking at... No, they don't have really anyone I want.
See, what, like, I'd be looking at here is they're not going to give up Pennacini for Clemmer only because they're not stocked with young outside backs. And the chip that Parramatta's got to play with here is Pennacini's a hell of a lot younger than Clemmer. But you could also say Clemmer's coming into his is in his prime.
Yeah, I wouldn't be jumping on that bandwagon too quickly.
What about Sean Lane?
No. We've got... Next year, we've got Adam Elliott, Jack Everington, Tyson Frizzell, and Lachlan Fitzgibbon. Brody Jones. We've got enough second rules next year.
Okay.
And Sean Lane's good, but he's not, you know, he's not that much better than the guys there or coming. That's, you know what I mean?
That's it.
There's no one else.
Yeah, man, but look, they're not flush with the outside backs. The only one that's signed through is Hayden Dunster.
Yeah, no, there's no one else. You know, like, maybe I'd consider maybe... Well, that's the thing. I was looking at the wings, you know, because we're losing Edric Lila next year. I'm not...
I reckon you'd have to give up someone with Clemmer and you could get Sivo.
No, because Clemmer's worth more than Sivo by far. Just by pure dollars, experience, and David Clemmer put...
Can't look at that. You got to 100%. Look at the fit for both teams.
Yeah, and he catches the ball and puts it down. He's not that flash. Not that high on him. I'm not that. We've got Dom Young. He hasn't got the runs on the board. I think he has potential to do pretty well in the NRL. Like, if you're going to be losing Clemmer for the last year of his contract, when he's already said he's committed to the club and you're pushing for it, you're going to be looking way harder than Mike Acebo.
Okay.
Way harder. You there's no one in that para team other than the halves that we need.
Yeah, because they're not going to send a prop back because they're wanting to bring a prop in.
Yeah, that's going to cover us like for David Clemmer. Yeah. No one.
Yeah,
because the only one I would consider I'd be happy with Pennacini with a hell of a lot of cash. That's the only way I'd consider.
I don't see what the cash means, like to the club.
Well, practically you pay David Clemmer's contract next year and you pay like 85% of Pennacini's.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But that's the reality because Clemmer is worth, like I said, other than the halves, I'd probably take Mitch Moses. He'd be a good halfback to have at Newcastle. But they're not letting go of Mitch Moses.
Of course
not. So, no, there's no there's no trade in here that does that works for Newcastle at all. None at all. Sorry, there that without losing, because like I said, you're not going to get rid of their Chebac on Star and Penasini anytime soon. No. I mean,
Star's a strong term, but yeah, compared to what else they've got.
Yeah, it'd be a risk, you know, potentially having a run at Matto. That's a big call.
Because yeah, just really strong, but that's the same thing with your back row. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's have a look at injuries coming out of last week before we have our first break and look at the judiciary. So Will Kennedy will be out of action until the finals after undergoing ankle surgery. Big blow there because we've seen how much their attack started without him in it earlier in the season. Kyle Felt is set to miss two games after suffering a hamstring injury. Nick Meaney picked up a head knock. Will be missing round 21 due to that. Jackson Hastings been ruled out for the rest of the season after suffering a broken ankle in hip doc tackle of Patrick Carrigan. Mitch Moses will miss at least the next 3 weeks after breaking a finger. Bailey Simonson will miss a week with a hamstring injury. Jed Cartwright, 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. Campbell Graham is closing in on a return from a cheek injury. Channel Harris-DeVita has been silent with a knee injury. Wade Egan will be good to go, despite cracking several teeth. Let's have a look what else. And Lindsay Collins was ruled out again from a concussion. And if anyone saw that on Thursday night, wow, that was one of those sickening ones where he was gone way before he hit the ground. That was a scary one to watch. All right. Do you want to crack into a couple of the judiciary cases now?
No, I don't need more time than 5 minutes.
You reckon?
Yeah.
All right. We will come back with judiciary because I don't think we're missing anything else here. No, it's all game news.
Particularly, yeah.
Sorry, I hit record right when I had it. Burp going on. What we should have thrown in there, and Jared was talking, what we should have thrown in at the end there was bets from the weekend. First time in a little while we've had all three come through. Well, not come through. Three that we talked about on the show. One of the three came through. So I was sitting there at $140. I had $10 on Parramatta to win with Sean Lane to score a try, and he could have gotten the ball on any one of three occasions and he was across and they went out the back every time and he was through the line clear as day, but oh, it's frustrating. Anyway, I lost that. Jared had $10 on Newcastle to win with Frizzell anytime and Adokar anytime. That didn't help anything. Did Adokar score?
No, yeah. I don't think so.
He had two tries.
He set up a try.
Yeah, for kick two. And then Wall just went the safety thing. $10 on Parramatta to win into Micah Sivo anytime at Bankwest. It's pretty much as safe as they come. I was paying $5.10. So that's $51 there for Wall. So that takes him from $40 up to $91.
No, oh, he's ahead of me, a bastard.
Jared drops down to $86 and I drop down to $130. All right.
We'll go
judiciary
on next week.
So this is a very busy, all over the shop, luck of the draw. What's it called? Lucky dip, whatever it is. Judiciary. So kicking things off on Thursday night, we had Jared Warrior Hargraves charged with dangerous contact. And I believe that was the one on Zach Fulton, I believe, with the bit of a rub of the forearm elbow on the face of Zach Fulton while he was on the ground. I'm no Jared Warrior Hargraves fan, even though he used to play for Manly, plays for the Roosters now, don't care about him. At the end of a tackle, rubbing your forearm into a player's face while they're on the ground, I'm so old, I didn't really care. It's welcome to NRL. You're a rookie.
You're old now.
You're a rookie. Yeah, it literally happens. I know Jared's gonna say this is now. This literally happens every week in A grade. The difference here, this one's on TV, so everyone saw it because they're in the NRL. I have no issue with it. It happens. It's called hazing. Is it a bad look? Is it a dirty look? Sure. Was it dangerous? No. Unless he's got like a skin condition or something. Anyway, he took an early guilty plea and it's a $3,000 fine.
Hazing. Oh, mate. Mate, you're one step away from getting the hairbrush stuck up your ass.
It's like year eights and year sevens at my school now just walk down the pathway. Year 12s have come the other way. The year sevens don't even move. It's like...
So?
It's year 12s come, man. Show some respect.
No. What are you... Year 12s, they're probably dumber than the fucking grade sevens.
No, we used to... If you used to try that in high school, you used to like... If you didn't get out of the way of the 12s, you'd be put up against the wall.
Dude, I've seen your class. Your year 12s. They don't... No.
And that's what I mean. Just like that's how it should be.
No, see, he's... No, no. Hazing. Fuck off. That's so bad. That's not a thing. Like, you know what? I remember a couple of years ago when Dylan Napa debuted and he was playing for the Roosters at the time.
Mm.
And David Clemmer was, James Graham was playing, but David Clemmer was probably the premier front row in Australia, playing for New South Wales and Australia. Dylan Napa went after him. And by the end of the game, David Clemmer is sitting on his back more times than Dylan Napa sat Clemmer on his back. But they shook hands and they, after the game, David Clemmer showed him he was a dominant front row. By hitting and running hard, not by, oh, you're on the ground. You know what? I'm going to stick my elbow in the side of your fucking temple. That's not the same.
I didn't say it was.
No, but you're loving this. You're loving this. There's a way to hate
it. I never got to the point of saying loving it. I just said I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, okay, you don't have an issue with it. There's a way to haze with what David Clem did to Dylan Napa by beating the shit out of him legally. And then there's the bitch way to haze, what Jared Rhee Hargraves did, which was a bitch move. Come on, dude. Like, there's no need for that. And you know what I was more annoyed about? Your little man, Daly Cherry Evans, instead of pushing off Jared Rhee Hargraves, protected his head as a captain should, you know what he did? Hey, ref, can you please help me out? He didn't do anything to help him. That's the part I find funny. He was standing there dummy half going, oh, please don't hurt me, Jared. I don't want to get hurt. You know,
I don't want to hurt the Australian captain. Actually, well, Hargraves probably
would. There's a New Zealand front row. Jared Rhee Hargraves do whatever he wants to a shadow Australian player. Point is, Dowie Cherry Evans,
the
thing to protect his debutant. That's worse than what Jared Rhee Hargraves did. That's worse. So why didn't he do anything to protect him?
There's nothing to protect him for, is it, big boy?
No. If you've got a
Last thing I want, if it's my first game in, is the senior players coming to running because I can't handle myself.
It's not about handling yourself. I'm worried about my senior players not doing that.
Move on.
Hey, ref, please help. I don't want to. Don't hurt my little man. The big bad bully's hurting him. That's what Cherry Evans yelled out to the referee that night. The big old pussy. He should have pushed him off.
Talking about the yeah. Let's go.
Easy. What a load of shit.
Oh, that's right. You're a back. You don't get into the tough stuff.
Have you seen the size of me? I'm a forward, dude.
You are not.
I'm anyway. Like a better version of Josh Schuster. A bigger version of Josh Schuster, at least. Please don't hurt him. That's Cherry Evans just saying no. Didn't do anything to protect his debutant.
It's one thing, like, Jared tries to get me about Cherry Evans, but I'm like, he's got no foot to stand on here.
Let's move on and see the other things that you complained about.
Bob Fulton's grandson, Cherry Evans, is like, help me, help me.
I think Cherry Evans did more as a captain in one press conference than any other captain will do for the whole season on Thursday night.
Yeah, but he still doesn't deserve to be Australian captain because he's not.
Oh, my God, Jared, get off your little high horse. He's a bigger winner.
You started it, dude. No. You started it.
I said there was nothing wrong with this, and there was nothing because he got fined. That was it. Tamalolo, for some reason, is paying $3,000 for nothing. Anthony Milford should just not try to tackle. There's no point, but he got fined $1,500 anyway for supposable shoulder charges. There was no charge from Tamalolo. He stood still, and the guy ran into his shoulder. Finnis Crossan wasn't playing on the weekend.
He was.
Oh, I just didn't notice him. Jaden Sewell is fined $1,800 for contrary conduct. Joseph Tarfany accepted $1,000 for contrary conduct. Tom Burgess got a match. Alfred Smalley, for some reason, got a match. Egan Butcher got a match. Nathan Cleary got 5 matches because he's used the same tackling technique for like 3 years and people paid attention to this one because it went a bit higher than his other previous ones.
At least he'll be prepped for number 7 jersey for Australia.
He won't be. He can't stay on the field. And then Patrick Carrigan got 4 weeks for
breaking a dude's leg.
It said a hip drop. He didn't actually drop from the hip at all. But yeah, there's it in this one. It's a to be a pure case of they took the injury into account. It wasn't a good tackle. Still sketchy
what he did.
See, to me, that tackle's been happening since we played footy in high school. There's 2 people up top, one comes in low. This one, he's on the leg, and I know they've been trying to rule that out in the NRL. You'll never be able to rule it out. It happens. It's been a type of tackling forever. But this one broke a guy's leg, which sucks for him, and Carrigan's paying a 4-week price for it. You see tackles like this 10, 20 times a game. There's no outcome like this. I'm not excusing Carrigan, because you never go in there with the intent of trying to snap someone's leg, but yeah, it is what it is.
It's a pretty dodgy tackle, but yeah, move on.
So 4 weeks for him, and I'm not joking, but like Nathan Cleary's done these lifting tackles before and gotten away with smaller suspensions, but it's not the first time he's done a tackle like this.
Yeah, but it hasn't been that pronounced of old mate landing on the back of his neck.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That is the worst one he's done. It's not like
It's the worst one he's done, but he does – that's part of his tackling technique. See, when he does lift people, they flip pretty quickly. There's been other ones where it's been stopped by another player.
He's one of the few halfbacks in the NRL who's strong defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not defending the tackle, but like not many halfbacks could actually do what he did on the weekend. Not many halfbacks do what he done on the weekend.
No.
And like you said, it does do regularly, but you got to, as a half, he's probably the bravest defensive half in the thing. And he's probably the hardest one to run at just because he can put you on the back. Whereas a lot of other halves, this kind of get low and kind of use your momentum and fall back kind of thing. There's no real dominant tackling halves in the comp. And as Adam said, he has got this tackling style, but if I was the Pembroke coach, I'd be like, you know what? Stick to it because you're not someone who's going to run it. And as you said, it's not happening every single tackle. Majority of the time, he gets it right. Like, he does get it right majority of the time. This one, he just lost control. And it was really unfortunate. He definitely deserves the 5 weeks, but
that's the thing. It's cost the team 5 weeks. I don't know how their favourites this weekend. It's going to be...
In my mind, I wouldn't be throwing him under bus.
Probably wouldn't be telling him to continue to stick your arms between people's legs and lift them.
It was around his hips. What are you talking about?
Oh, this one was. Yeah, previous ones, not so much.
Talking about it. It was actually a perfectly thing tackle that old mate that he lost control of. Like, he very puts his hand. I'm talking about the dominant tackle when he puts people on his back like Andrew Johns used to do. Not the bullshit between the legs, which he doesn't do, which he did do in his occasions, so I don't even know why you're bringing it up.
Yeah, I know. I was just picturing the last time he did. But, yeah, just keep doing what you do. Just don't do it illegally. That's
what NRL players have to do. Keep tackling people, just don't do it illegally.
Well, yeah, and you'll stay on the
field. Adam can take over Des Hasler's coach.
There you go. Well, these guys don't get the hint, so maybe I should. Who else? Let's
just keep doing it like you do. Oh, man, that was horrible.
They're all the big ones?
You know what? Right? That's what judiciary should do. Keep doing what you're doing. Just not all
cool. Oh, no, I was saying that literally to mock you because you just talked about how good his tackling technique. This one was just wrong. So I was like, yeah, just tackle well, just don't do it illegally.
Mate. Name a better defensive half in the comp you can do. Put someone in there, but put a second row on their back.
We have to go through this again.
Name someone.
A better defensive halfback who makes what? Less missed tackles?
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about players you just don't run at. Like, there's players in the competition who's been there for a long time that you put in your tip sheet to run at because they're weak defensively. Adam Reynolds, one. Dowie Cherry Evans, too.
Oh, you can run at him all day. That's fine.
Yeah, you missed.
Got the best defensive metrics out of any half in the comp. That's all cool.
He's a weak defensive player, man.
Oh, my
God.
Jared's doing his thing. Oh, my God. I don't know.
Oh, my God. I need to go to bed.
I know. What we got out of that whole off-air argument was that if we had a one-on-one opportunity, who would you run at? Someone who has a better tackle technique or someone who doesn't. And I said, I would run at the person who misses more tackles because there's less chance they'll stop me.
Mm.
Which supposedly goes against Jared's point of he'd rather run at the person with a better technique, but there's a higher chance they'll miss more. So I don't know. You guys decide. Going on to the round that just was.
You still didn't.
Most people picked up on who was going to win most matches because the scoring rate was like 5.9 or 6.0, something like that. And really the only, I'm not going to consider the Parramatta over Penrith an upset because Penrith are missing three of their starters. I'm not going to take the Cleary send off into it because obviously we didn't plan for that to happen. But Parramatta had already beaten Penrith this year away, and this time they'll versus them at home where they are pretty good, and they backed it up. And then also the Tigers upset over the Broncos, 32 points to 18. So outside of that, most of the, I'd say the other games pretty much went to the betting lines. Looking at all the results, I guess the only surprising result was the Roosters 20 defeating the Seagulls 10, whereas even I as a Manly sport had Roosters winning 20 plus, and they were pretty poor considering that was their strongest lineup of the season. But it could also be the fact that these guys haven't played together as a whole team for quite a while. For Manly to pull off a win in this one, famously without seven of their starters, and there was a part of me wishing or hoping that some of the players who stepped in got to keep their positions because they didn't play that badly. They didn't play great, but they didn't play that badly.
When the teams got released, that they did.
Yeah.
They did bring these players back.
Schuster didn't come back in.
Josh otherwise injured, and I'm Schuster, yeah, is on the bench. But
yeah,
I actually didn't think Roosters walk on the field thinking they're going to win this too easily for me. Yeah. They didn't really give it a decent crack. While they still won pretty convincingly at the end, it wasn't like they should have put 50 on them.
Yeah, they should have.
And to be fair, the it wouldn't have been the players on the field would have taken it really hard. You'd hope the players off the field would have taken it worse if they got beaten badly.
I think they'd take it worse the fact they only lost by 10. And that's pretty much the end of their finals hopes being in their control. They can obviously still make finals, but now they're relying on other teams to help them out. I'm talking about Manly here. Looking at through 50% possession, Manly actually completed at a greater efficiency than the Roosters did. But one difference is when the Roosters had the ball, they did a lot more with it meterage-wise by almost 300 metres. But looking through the game itself, and I think watching it as well, it was a pretty even contest, except for the times where the Roosters kind of went, you know what, most of us have won like two premierships. Let's say, how about we play like we have done that, and we're coming up against, what, five debutants or whatever. Yeah, halftime was 18-6 to the Roosters. Manly won the second half 4-2. But the fact that Roosters didn't put a try on in the second half, to me, if I'm Trent Robinson, would be concerning. But I guess something to build upon. And regardless of your opinion about all the other stuff that went on, those jerseys look freaking mint that the Seagulls wore out. And there's no surprise that they sold out and the second run sold out.
Did you get one?
Congratulations. I got on the sold second waiting list. So it'll be coming late August. And I'm not one for buying Australian sports jerseys because most of them are pretty... I just don't like jerseys with stuff all over them. But those ones are just too good. So Manly stuck on 20 points now. Definitely fighting an uphill battle. It's a season where they've kind of shot themselves in the foot more than anything, to be fair. All right. Melbourne Storm trying to stave off five losses in a row. Went over to New Zealand, and despite a spirited Edward Kosey performance, a hat trick and no conversions, unfortunately, did run out 24-12 winners over the Warriors. This game, I think, was a bit closer than that scoreline suggested, and with the three conversions, at least two of them would have been a fairer picture of the contest. I thought the Warriors played some pretty expansive, exciting football when they got the chance to do so. And Storm were kind of like the Roosters. They did enough to win, but they're a long way off where they need to be. I think Bellamy's just going to be pleased that they got the 2 points and they can get back on the plane and go home. They got what they went over there to do.
Yeah, they came back with a win, which was all they needed to do. It was good seeing Melbourne back to winning circle and getting a few people back here and there. So they're going to come back. And they're still in the top four, remember?
Yeah.
They lost four games in a row and they're still in the top four. So that shows you all you need to know about Melbourne.
They built up that buffer at the start of the season and through the first couple of origins, and it's paying off for them now. Grant Anderson had a pretty solid game, strong game. No tries this week, but strong runner of the ball. And I believe he's going to be shifted into the centres for round 21. So that'll be interesting. Strong game up front by Storm. Bromwich boys always go up and play a good game when they're over in New Zealand. For the Warriors, I said Edward Kosey with a hat trick. Hopefully he can string a few games together without injury. And Toru Harris played a really solid game, I thought, as he always does against his old club. What was Builders' match of the round for a lot of people? Eels 34 defeating Penrith 10. Pretty dominant performance from start to finish, really, by Parramatta.
It had some pretty heavy consequences for both teams. So obviously the Nathan Cleary one, but Mitch Moses actually broke his thumb.
Yeah.
So he's out for the rest of the regular season as well. It's nothing to do with the tackle. Oh, that was on Dylan Brown anyway. Sorry. But and right now it looks like Jacob Arthur's still recovering from an injury. So they're moving, looks like they're gonna move Clint Gutherson into the halves. Potentially, and put Dunster at fullback, which for me makes Parra very, very ready to get beat by me. Like, it was a good opportunity for Manly to have a decent crack at him this week. Probably no better time to play Parramatta than
I'd hope so.
Have a dominant win, lose probably their most organising halfback with their direction. And, yeah, I think poor old Parra might get a bit of a flogging this week coming out of this game.
Up on the – we'll take a win. Don't worry about the flogging bit. But, yeah, Penrith did score first and –
pretty easily, too.
Yeah, pretty easily. And I was watching going, oof, that's not a good start if I'm a Parra supporter. But they rallied and then put on, what, the next 5 tries before Penrith responded. So it was 30-4 at halftime. Penrith won the second half 6-4. I guess to bring some credibility to the scoreline, Michael Sivo getting his customary try, actually end up with a double. Reid Marnie getting his first double of his career. And Isaiah Papali'i getting across for another meat pie for the season. And, yeah, it's going to be really interesting, Penrith next week. So there's no Jerome Luai for Penrith that week. And, again, for round 21, it'll be the same, but also without Cleary, despite that they will be full strength. Up on the Gold Coast, Raiders 36, run-out winners over the Titans 24. So whenever the Titans are included, you know it's going to be a high-scoring game. Jaden Campbell with a double coming off the bench. For the Raiders, Kotrick with a double, Chris with a double, Tomoko, Young and Tarpany. A very complete game by Hudson Young in this one. Tarpany getting another reward for his dominant prop season. And Jamal Fogarty kicking 4 out of 7 for the Raiders. So they're putting together a pretty decent run at the moment, the Raiders, and it'll set up a pretty cracking contest next week. I believe they're coming up against Penrith, aren't they? I think they might be. So that'll be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Whispers around Titans bringing in Shane Flanagan to help besieged coach Hillbrook.
I think they need to bring in this coach. I think someone needs to pick up Shane Flanagan as their head coach, to be honest. Canberra should have won this. I thought they're going to run away with it. I'm a bit disappointed more in the 24-point scoreline than the 34 that Canberra scored, because there's no way that Gold Coast team should have been able to put 24 points on this Canberra team the way Canberra are playing.
We know the Titans can put points on pretty much anyone. It's just keeping the points out that's their issue.
Yeah, I know, but as you said, Canberra could like they're doing a bit of a run. And if you're able to get 24 points put on by a Gold Coast team, you're going to struggle against a Parramatta team, a Penrith team, a very, like, the stronger attacking in the comp. Because there's no way that they would be able to put 34 points on Penrith or Parra. I'd be actually quite concerned if I was Ricky Stewart on that, because some of those defensive plays look just lazy to let tries in. So I was a bit disappointed about that. But yeah, good Gold Coast. They're coming. They're still last, but there's a lot to do there. And finally, happy that Justin Holt, someone from the Gold Coast, agreed with us about the fact that they let Jamal Fogarty was a fucking mistake, and said that he's looking forward to seeing Cameron Munster, Kieran Foran back. So yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
See what happens there.
Moving on to what ended up being the game of the round, I think Sharks 21 over Raiders 20 in Golden Point. Latrell Mitchell had what? 3 shots, I think, at field goal. Sharks had 3 shots at field goal, both in regular time and the start of Golden Point. And it wasn't until Burgess gave away a penalty with a attempted cover tackle that I had to go back and watch. Jerry got the better of me on that one. That gave Sharks field position and allowed them to set up for Hines to slot the field goal. Rabbitohs were coming into this one with a record of 4 wins on the trot, and Sharks pretty much held their own at a packed-out Cronulla Stadium, and they'll be ready to host the Dragons there next week, which will be a cracker. I love to see the reaction of Craig Fitzgibbon as well after that win. He let it show how much it meant. So that was awesome to see. Andrew Fifita getting a late try, and then Tevita Totola getting a late try. So it's like a prof on each side getting the last meat pies for their teams to...
Ooh. All right, so the last game on Saturday was, I thought was going to really walk over with Broncos hosting the Tigers. So obviously Tigers is heavy cell dwellers for the last 10 years. Broncos are on the up at Suncorp Saturday night, full stadium. And Tigers came out, and even missing their halfback, they ripped through Broncos, put a bit of dent in the confidence of the Broncos fans with the up and up, the, you know, expected to win, doing a bit of a Parramatta there. But Tigers turn around. It was a real good game to watch, actually. A lot of fun tries to see. Good on Tigers. Okay, next game at Newcastle Sunday afternoon. 24-10 Bulldogs over Newcastle. Bulldogs with some very overly attacking tries, looked really good. Really want to know what Mick Potter said to the Bulldogs to release their attacking ability, because it's just been that night and day turnaround that you got to look at.
Everything Trent Barrett told you, do the opposite.
Yeah, pretty much. It's really weird. Like, there's so much difference in the thing. I don't know if he instilled confidence or what, but it's really strange. When I ever heard Newcastle, just their attack, they just look lost. There's no thing. I can get into it, but we do not have the time tonight. I have my theories on it, but everyone does as well. So we've got to have a decent conversation, because the team they've got there, the four pack they got there, cannot be going this bad this late in the season, you'd think. And in the last game in the round, Ben Hunt could not pull the Dragons out of getting flogged by the Cowboys. And I think the biggest highlight for the Cowboys would be the ability of Jeremiah Nanai's consistency throughout the whole game. Yes, he's got some defensive liabilities in his team, but most young people do at his age, in second row. But his whole running, man, and his attack is just top shelf. Like, it reminds me of a young Murata Niokore. What's his name? Cronulla bloke. Niokore. Brittain Niokore, how he plays. Just a bigger version of him, because Brittain Niokore is probably one of the smaller second roles in the comp. But just his whole running is just fearless. It's timed to perfection. And if you've got a decent half who's going to pass the ball at the right time, he's close to unstoppable. So it's really good to watch. And some of the tries, he's like, because Dad came up Sunday afternoon and was like, and we just sat there and went, that's good football. That's all you can say about it. It just looked good. But yes, that's the round, end of round. Ladder right now, Penrith up top, North Queensland second, Cronulla third, Melbourne fourth, Broncos, Parramatta sixth, South Sydney seventh with Roosters, Canberra, Manly and St. George are the only ones pushing for the eight, with St. George on 20 in the 11th spot, with one win out of the eight, but minus 124 for and against. And then the rest of the teams are hoping they don't get the wooden spoon. That's pretty well where we're at in their competition right now, with five rounds to go. Other than that, guys, jump on our tip comp. You're all good for the, you know, it's in the home stretch for the beer at the end of the year. Have a look into that. You know, send us messages, send us voicemails all through our social media and stuff like that. And other than that, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.